Well, I'd been thinking about the gospel and some of the things that assumptions that we make about it, or things that we, when we talk about the gospel, we forget about some aspects of it. And I thought I'd just go over some of the things that I was thinking about, some of the things that we've looked up some of these in the past, but let me just post a verse there. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Paul, that's Paul speaking. Our gospel being, he called it the gospel of Christ. In well, earlier, I don't know. It was the gospel of Christ was in Romans 1:16, and then in 2:16, Romans 2:16, he calls it my gospel. But then you get to I'm trying to think where it is. It's later in his, in the prison epistles, he calls calls it my gospel. Where is that third place? My gospel. I should have looked that up before. But he calls it when after he was sent to all people. That's it. Thanks. Remember, this is 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So that was after the gospel had been, the gospel message had been renamed or given a further sending to all people with the name of the gospel of the grace of God. And, it was the same message, though. The same 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 message. But it was Paul's gospel, not Peter's, not the kingdom gospel that was offered or preached about, that it was at hand in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we see in this verse, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by the gospel that God calls us to be saved. And we know from Romans 8:29-30 that he calls those that he knows are going to believe. And he justifies them when they believe and glorifies them. So, what does the gospel contain? What is this gospel that we're called by? We know the content, that Christ died for our sins, he was buried and risen again the third day, and that by believing that the God, 8-9 years ago, welcome to the room. 8 or 9 years ago, when I started doing this, I think I got a few people mad at me because I was saying that the gospel was not verses 3 and 4, it was verses 1 and 2. Well, the whole thing, see, the gospel is the good news. The good news that God will save you if you believe or fit in with the requirements. We'll get to that in a minute. And the requirement in this dispensation is just strictly to believe that Christ died for my sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. So, lost my train of thought there. But anyway, there is a need. That's one thing. People have a need. They're under condemnation, headed for hell, and if they don't get that straightened out, somehow, that's where they'll end up, in the lake of fire. People have a need. Any gospel, there's a need. The world was going to be flooded. They had a need. Noah had a need. The Lord had a remedy, a promise, a bow in the sky. So that's the second thing, that there is a remedy. What and that's the good news of the gospel. The third thing, each individual's part. What does he have to do? What's his the condition or the stipulation that you receive the promise of the gospel? Each individual's he's to trust God that God's remedy does save me from my need being to get out from under the condemnation. So in our gospel of the grace of God, it contains a need. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So there you've got it. We're all under condemnation. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins, and that's the result of Genesis 2:17, well, actually into 3 there, but the warning in 2:17, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. So the need proclaimed by the gospel of the grace of God is that we all are sinners and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. So that's the need. What about God's remedy? The remedy that God provides, the promise, the content of the gospel. Our gospel of the grace of God is, well, for one thing, there's forgiveness. There's the blood of Christ has covered our need. I shouldn't say covered. That's kind of a loaded word. But it's taken care of what we needed. We're reconciled by the blood of the cross. And we'll get to that in a minute. But Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption. We have it. The Lord has provided it, and we, the believers, that's talking to saved people that were never in the promises, but heard the gospel and believed it after Paul was whoever it was, preached it to us. So that's Ephesians 1:7. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And you could rearrange that. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And it goes on, not according to the promises, not according to the Old Testament, but according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. There it is again, even the forgiveness of sins. There they are, run together. Well, it still has through his blood, and that's important. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. The one on the cross was Jesus Christ. He's the one that made peace. He made peace with us. You know, it's up to us to receive that, to make it our own, make it be at peace with him from our side, I guess you could say. Made peace through the blood of the cross to him, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth. So, and he goes on. Well, let's go on to Colossians 1. Right at the beginning, in the introduction, we see the gospel. It's in a little different form, a little bit different grammatical structure to it. But it's Paul's gospel after he was sent to all people. He says, you remember the word of the truth. That's Ephesians 1:13. The word of truth is the gospel of our salvation. So Colossians 1, starting in verse 3 and going through 6, We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. So that's how we know that these were not people in the promises. They're not people that Paul visited before. It's people that that he hadn't heard of. Well, he did have to hear of them to know about them. He had heard. He says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. Verse 5, Colossians 1:5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, not in the land. This is different. This is not Israel's hope. It's not the kingdom hope. The hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it does doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. How does the grace of God in truth appear to us? Colossians 2:13 says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened. And right there, he reversed what happened there in Galatians, Genesis 2. Let me read 2:17 here. It says, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, I don't like to, you know, stretch it out and try and make it that it was 1,000 years, within 1,000 years, 1,000-year day or something. In the first place, Adam didn't live 1,000 years. It was in the first 1,000 years, yes, but I just like to understand it as it's written, you know, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, when a person receives Christ as their Savior, it says, where is that verse that we just read? 2:13? Colossians 2:13, let me get that. I think it's up in the text up there. It was posted already. But let me just get it in front of me here. It says, and you being dead in your sins. See, when they were saved, they weren't in a grave, but in the same line of thinking, they were still dead in sins. People are born, descended from Adam, dead in their sins. Just like Adam was dead in his sins from the moment he sinned, from the day, it says there in Genesis 2:17, from the day that he sinned, he was dead in sins. And that's erased in Colossians 2:13. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive again, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Welcome to the room, Clear River and Grand... Gordon, good to see you. So, having forgiven you all trespasses. And Titus 2:11 fits in here too, I think, for the grace of God. Talking about that gospel of the grace of God, the good news. It's good news about the grace of God. And what is the good news? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So it's talking about the same thing, even though the word gospel is not in there. It is still good news that God is gracious to us. The remedy and the promise proclaimed by the gospel of the grace of God is that Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of the cross. Thirdly, so we covered the need and the remedy or the promise. The third thing, the gospel of the grace of God that saves people today, it has conditions. It has something for us to do or believe. It's what is our part, in other words. For the Ephesians 2, verse 8, a verse we often use that doesn't actually tell you what to believe or what to have faith in, but it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." By grace refers to the part that you're saved. You are saved. It's by grace that you're saved. In other words, you are saved by grace, by God's grace, through faith. Your initial faith in receiving the reconciliation that Christ accomplished by the blood of his cross. So, through faith also refers to, are you saved? By grace are you saved through faith, and through faith is it's talking about that. I'm losing the flow of the verse here. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that being saved, that salvation, is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not talking about the faith being the gift of God. It's talking about the salvation being the gift of God. It refers to that salvation by which you are saved is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And again, let's look down in Colossians. We were in Colossians and got partway through there. But it applies here too about your faith. Colossians 1, 4, 5, and 6. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You heard it, and they're saved, so they believed it. Colossians 1, 6, which is come unto you as it is in all the world. Thanks, Ed. And bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. So that's talking about that they, I mean, it wouldn't be talking about disbelievers saying you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, writing to them as saved people in Colossae. So, and excuse me just a second here. So, going on down, Titus 3, verse 4 through 8. through 8. I hope that holds me. I got a drink. I should be right. Colossians 3, 4 through verse 8. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness. So talking about what's our part, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. How did he save us? He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us. Not put us through it, but he shed it on us. What had happened to Christ there when he was regenerated and renewed of the Holy Ghost, that was shed on us, poured out on us, so to speak, abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's the promise of the gospel. Verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to, notice it says, might be careful, not must be careful, might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So the need, proclaimed by the gospel of the grace of God is that we're sinners, we come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. The remedy of the gospel, proclaimed by the gospel of the grace of God, is that Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of the cross. And the condition, or our part, proclaimed by the gospel of the grace of God, is that we must believe the gospel for our own situation. You make it personal, in other words. You've probably heard the term, receive Christ, or accept Christ as your own personal Savior, which has, I think it has some shortcomings in the statement, but that part of it is accurate, that it needs to be a personal transaction, not an not just a statement of fact that God died to save the animals and the people and us and everybody else. You know, you have to make it your own remedy by receiving it to yourself, to your own situation, that Christ did it all without our help. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again for our justification. Believe on him to life everlasting, it says in 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So that's my thoughts anyway about the gospel. And one important thing, what we started with, that God calls us by his gospel. We can't belittle it or think of it as a mechanical thing. It's God's calling. He's calling us into fellowship of him and his son.